Hello, this is an All My News International podcast. My name's Claire George. Today I'm going to read you a book review, Investigative Journalism and Speculation, The Hidden History of the Korean War, by All My News citizen reporter Jay Halban. The controversial book, The Hidden History of the Korean War by I.F. Stone, was originally published in 1952 during the Korean War, 1950-1953, and republished in 1970 during the Vietnam War, 1960-1975. It raised questions about the origin of the Korean War, made a case that the United States government manipulated the United Nations, and gave evidence that the US military and South Korean oligarchy dragged out the war by sabotaging the peace talks. Publishing such a book in the US during the time of McCarthyism, while the war was still continuing, was an act of journalistic courage. 40 years later, declassified US, Soviet, and People's Republic of China documents both confirmed some and corrected some of Stone's story. Until his death in 1989, Stone was an experienced and respected independent left-wing journalist and iconoclast. This book-length feat of journalism, with over 600 citations for his quotes and materials, is a testament to Stone's search for a way to strengthen his readers to think for themselves, rather than be overwhelmed by official stories and war propaganda. The standard telling was that the Korean War was an unprovoked aggression by the North Koreans, beginning on June 25, 1950, undertaken at the behest of the Soviet Union to extend the Soviet sphere of influence on the whole of Korea, completely surprising the South Koreans, the US, and the UN. But was it a surprise? Could an attack by 70,000 men using at least 70 tanks launched simultaneously at four different points have been a surprise? Stone gathers contemporary reports from South Korean, US, and UN sources, documenting what was known before June 25th. The head of the US CIA, Rear Admiral Roscoe H. Hillenlotter, is reported to have said on the record that American intelligence was aware that conditions existed in Korea that could have meant an invasion this week or next. Stone writes that America's leading military commentator, Hanson Baldwin of the New York Times, a trusted confidant of the Pentagon, reported that they, US military documents, showed a marked build-up by the North Korean People's Army along the 38th parallel, beginning in the early days of June. How and why did US President Truman so quickly decide by June 27th to commit the US military to battle in South Korea? Stone makes a strong case that there were those in the US government and military who saw a war in Korea and the resulting instability in East Asia as in the US national interest. Stone presents the ideas and actions of them, including John Foster Dulles, General Douglas MacArthur, President Syng Man Rhee, and Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek, which appear to amount to a willingness to see the June 25th military action by North Korea as another Pearl Harbor in order to commit the United States more strongly against communism in the Far East. Their reasoning may have been, Stone thought, the sooner a war with China and or Russia the better before both become stronger. President Truman removed Secretary of Defense Lewis Johnson, according to Stone's account, because Johnson had been selling this doctrine of preventative war. Stone shows that Truman committed the US military to the war in Korea, then went to the UN for sanctions against North Korea. It was neither honourable nor wise, Stone argues, for the UN, under pressure from an interested great power, to condemn a country for aggression without investigation and without hearing its side of the case. But that is what the US insisted should happen, using, Stone argues, distorted reports to rush its case. Then, when the war came to a stalemate at the 38th parallel, Stone makes a strong case that US Army headquarters provoked or created incidents to derail the ceasefire negotiations. When the North Koreans and Chinese had ceded on November 4, 1952, To the three demands of the UN side, the US military spread a story that the communists had brutally murdered 5,500 American prisoners. The talks were being dragged out, the US military argued, because the communists don't want to have to answer questions about what happened to their prisoners, and they are lower than barbarians. At no time after these reports were these atrocities reported again or documented, but hope of a ceasefire subsided. Stone takes the story in time only a little beyond the dismissal of MacArthur on April 11, 1951. He quotes press reports as late as January 1952 that there still could be American bombing and naval blockade of Red China if Korean talks fail. The evidence which Stone presents is solid but circumstantial. What else could it be, with the official documents still unavailable? In the 1960s, the Rand Corporation, a major think tank originally funded by the US Air Force, conducted studies with additional information, and according to one reviewer, came to almost identical conclusions as Stone. Stone's telling of the history of the Korean War, emphasising the opportunistic response by the forces in the US, advocating rollback and also downplaying the role of the Soviet Union, challenged the dominant assumption that this was Stalin's war. Until the release of Western documents in the 1970s prompted a new wave of literature on the war, it remained a minority view. Then, in the 1990s, documents from the former Soviet archives became available, as did telegrams and other sources from the PRC archives. Scholars examining these documents and fitting the pieces together were able to make the case that Kim Il-sung had sought and eventually received Soviet support for a military effort to unify Korea. Stone had been wrong to suspect that General MacArthur and John Foster Dulles somehow colluded in the start of the Korean War. But Stone did a service by documenting the role of sectors of US policymakers looking for an opportunity to push the USSR and the PRC back from Northeast Asia. Bruce Cummings studied the detailed policy debate in the US which led to the policy of active containment. Cummings' book, The Origins of the Korean War, Volume 2, gives substance to the internal fight between supporters of rollback and those who supported containment, which for Stone was journalistic speculation. In 1952, when it was published, The Hidden History of the Korean War met with almost a complete press blackout and boycott, but that included no rebuttals or answers from official US sources. There was a republication in 1970 and the book has been translated at least into Spanish, Italian and Japanese. Some chapters also appeared in French. Used copies are still available, especially from online booksellers. I.F. Stone's case is thought-provoking and helpful, especially when tensions are being stirred up again on the Korean Peninsula and manipulated wars are still in style. Perhaps, however, journalism like that of Stone's and lessons from the First Korean War are making a Second Korean War less likely. That was Investigative Journalism and Speculation by All My New Citizen reporter Jay Halban. My name's Claire George. For more All My News International reporter stories, head on over to english.allmynews.com. Once you're at the website, you'll find more details of how to register as a citizen reporter and record podcasts of your own stories. That's all for now. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.